Just Claire, Colleen, and Tina. So, all right, well, we can get going. Hello?
Hi, Colleen on the line.
Colleen, how is everything in South Africa?
Fine, thank you. Busy and very cold.
Cold? It's winter there.
Yes, it is. Cold and rainy and storming.
That's unusual, though, isn't it?
No, not for us.
Yes. But we were just going to get ready to start when I heard your beep come in. We are, hopefully, we have a room scheduled from 4 o'clock to 6:15 at the RSA meeting for people who are going to be attending that meeting. No one should make a special effort just to go to it. Hello?
Suzanne from CHLA.
Hi, Suzanne. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Good.
So if you're going to be at the RSA meeting, we're going to meet on Sunday night from 4 to 6:15. In the hotel in the Atlanta Conference Center, and that's going to be a meeting of the individuals who were at the RSA from CFAS, and we're going to hopefully try to start thinking about a renewal. While I haven't heard anything specific or firm, it's my optimistic opinion that an RFA will be issued sometime early fall, and we'll have a renewal due sometime toward the end of the year. And I think we really need to start planning for that. Pardon? Did someone ask? No? All right.
I'm echoing
because there are other conference calls, and every time I start to talk, I hear someone say something, but it's me, so I apologize. Everyone should have sent off their progress report to NIAAA. You should include a copy of that to Jill so that we have those on file here. I think the big topic is the renewal and what we're doing to prepare for that. If one looks at the data that's collected, it appears that for the most part, with a few exceptions, everybody is pretty much on target or over target for collecting imaging, facial imaging, 3D imaging, and neurobehavioral data. One of the big issues is that not all of the data is getting in the repository. And without the data in the repository, it's as if the data doesn't exist. So I think that we have the ability up in the next month to try to get all of that data in so that people can start doing these multidisciplinary, multi-lab types of analysis, which some people have started to undertake. And I think that's going to play heavily in our renewal process. Papers coming out of individual labs I don't think are going to play as much of a role as we would normally think in the renewal, but it's going to be what we can show that we've done together that's going to be the critical issue. And I know that there are ongoing brain and face analysis. I think we have to start including the behavioral issues in there. And so the behavioral issues, the behavioral data is what we need really uploaded into that central repository. So are there any reasons why people can't get that done sometime in the next month. And I mean, I'm looking at figures here where, you know, 60, 70, 80% of the data that people say they have been entered. And we really need to get them up to 100%, where if we've tested a subject, the data need to be in there. So are there any reasons why that can't happen?
This is Sarah. I can add just a little bit. We've worked pretty hard over the last couple of months to develop a system to make it as easy as possible to identify which data are missing. And I won't go through the whole thing with you because it's elaborate. But there, we can identify which subjects have which variables are missing. And we've been updating the sites weekly, every Monday or so. They get a report with which, and that allows them to focus their efforts and not, you know, have to go through each subject one at a time to figure out. We've already done it for them. So they're one of the things that that's where we've really been focusing our efforts, and we'd like to, and a lot of the sites have really been doing a good job at that, but there are definitely areas where we can do better. The grouping variable is a big area that needs attention. We have a lot of, you know, several of the sites are doing okay, but we have some that means that even if all the data are in, we can't group the subject, we can't use it. And so that's really wasted effort on lots of people's parts. So I just want to, you know, echo what Ed's saying about that.
The other thing is that there are kids who are still in an unknown group, and we'd like to know why that is.
We know why they're in unknown groups. We have that information.
Well, I guess I don't mean why they're in the unknown group, is how do we get them out of the unknown group?
Well, there will be some kids, a small number, who we won't be able to, they won't leave the unknown group. And that's because they, for example, were recruited as controls, but turned out to have higher than our cutoff for alcohol exposure. Or they might have, we've been recruited for ADHD and not actually met criteria for ADHD, or recruited as a control and have some ADHD symptoms above our cutoff, so we don't include them either. So there's going to be some kids in the unknown group. It's the incalculable group. I don't know if you have that on your spreadsheet or not. That's called 7777. And those are kids that we can't group because we don't have enough data. That's the group.
Sarah?
Maybe that's what you're talking about.
Well, Sarah, I think that if we have kids in the unknown group, but we know why they're there,
mm-hmm.
should get them out of that unknown group.
Well, then just not count them anymore?
Yeah, we should put them into tested but unusable.
Okay, so just change. Okay.
If that's a control subject who has too much alcohol exposure, or someone with ADHD who's comorbid with 40 other things and we don't want to use them, but otherwise we won't have an accurate picture of how many kids we need to get more complete data on in order to put into a group that we can use for the...
Okay, if you look at the page that I don't know what number it is in your...
I'm just saying, you know, we don't need to go into doing it right now, but if we have to find a mechanism to find out...
I can tell you how to figure that out, Ed. You look at the column that's called DVC, and that number is what you need to get to 100%.
All right, so we can do that later, but we don't need to do it on the conference call, but just so that people know that we really need to get data size up so we can use your data for these disciplinary questions that were posed quite some time ago, and hopefully we can begin making some progress in terms of publications on those questions. All right, has anyone joined us late?
I wanted to interject a question or two, if I could.
Absolutely.
This is Dale. So one thing the graphs don't really convey, but the tables do, is the balance of subjects that are recruited. You know, it seems like there's underrepresentation of, say the IQ contrast group and ADH contrast groups in some cases. And are we going to be okay in those categories, or
Yeah, I mean, it's very noticeable in the 3D imaging. You know, I'm not sure that that's going to be a big factor there. Certainly in neurobehavioral, there are probably not going to be enough subjects to make any comparison now. The only one who probably has sufficient size is South Africa, maybe Atlanta.
For IQ or AD, or both?
For IQ.
Oh, okay. Because ADHD is looking pretty good.
For Atlanta, yeah.
Well, ADHD looks good in some sites and not in others. You know, Los Angeles still hasn't gotten ADHD group up there. And San Diego has a lot of unknowns. So they may be in the IQ group for all we know.
They're not.
Well, see, then we know that. So, I'm sorry, Dale.
Oh, so is there a need for a concerted effort to focus on those issues, or will they take care of themselves in time, or what are people thinking there?
So what are people thinking there?
In other words, is it time to have a focused strategy to bolster those numbers?
It certainly makes sense to me to try to recruit in that group. I mean, not solely, but to place an emphasis on getting them in, because if you look at the chart, you'll see that people are at basically 100% of what they said they were going to do in terms of total number of subjects, but not in terms of the group issues. And so we have a year of funding now, and even if we can't address the IQ question in publications that come out in the next 6 months, we will then have those data so that we could do it, include them in the next year of the CFAS. Am I making myself clear?
Yes.
All right, so if one of our goals was to compare the FAS alcohol-exposed kids to an IQ match control, right now we can't answer that question, and we will be taken to task on that in the renewal. So I think it makes sense to try to increase the amount of recruitment, since a lot of sites are at 100% of what they said they were going to do for the FAS group or the control group. Maybe it makes sense to try to target trying to get IQ match controls in.
Well, I think the IQ group has been just routinely difficult for the sites that were attempting to get that. And I know that we have specifically targeted that, and you know, we haven't done as good of a job as we would have liked. So we can continue to do that. I just don't know if that's – I don't know. I don't know what the answer is.
Are those kids caught in other clinics that could be, communicated with?
It's possible.
To generate referrals, maybe, or I don't know how that works exactly, but anyway, the other thing that I wondered about, because in a number of places, particularly in the first neuroimaging studies, the first cycle of them, I think we've overshot the target, and I'm wondering, you know, are we using up valuable resources by doing that, how are we justifying doing that, perhaps at the expense of getting the second scan.
Well, I know that there is an effort now to get the second scans. Now, there was a minimum of a two-year, I think it was two-year time difference between the two scans.
Yeah.
So there will be very few of them, but that's a heavy emphasis for this upcoming year, is to get those second scans done. And that will place a burden on lots of sites who, have to do a scan every other week, basically, to meet their levels.
Yeah, and I can see that progress in the second scans, but also the first scans are still sloping upwards, and what I'm just not sure what's driving that upward trend in the first scan still. Are we going to plateau these at, from this point forward, or is there a reason for continuing first scan?
Well, I think that, you know, everyone comes in, and so they, you know, parents want to get the kids scanned if they can. I think it will probably continue to slope upwards a little bit. I don't know. Elizabeth, what do you think?
I think that, you know, that the more the better. At, you know, time one, getting time two. I mean, Colleen's site has really done a lot of time twos, which is awesome. Thank you, Colleen. I don't think it ever, you know, makes sense if the resources are there to not scan the kids as they come in.
Yeah, but that's the question. Are there enough resources to keep scanning the kids when you're relative to how critical that second scan is to your aims?
I don't think it's preventing the second scans from being done. You know, I you're right. I wouldn't want to see resources being used that have to be used to get those second scans to scan additional first scans.
But I
don't think it's a matter of not having enough resources to do that. Does anyone disagree?
Well, I can – go ahead.
The other thing I would say is that, you know, getting 100% of your time ones back for time two, which is kind of what we put in the proposal, is probably not going to happen.
Well, no, nobody's going to expect that. But so you did calculate for 100% return for the second one?
I think we did, though I don't recall at the moment.
So what is your what's your percent return at this point based upon those that you've tried to get back?
Ann, can you give an estimate?
Let's see. Well, they range anywhere between 5% and 90%.
But that's not. I don't think that's John's question.
No, but I don't know. I don't know when they're eligible. You know, I know that in San Diego, the scanner was down for a while, so.
So we don't have to do the calculations now. I mean, the point is that. If you budgeted for 100% return, you're not going to get that. But if you have a 10% that you can't get back, that gives you 10% that you can play with. That allows you to recruit an additional 5% for scans if you're going to bring that additional 5% back for a second. But you can play with the numbers and make a judgment as to when it starts to cost you money or to cost you second scans.
I think that, you know, speaking for myself, we're using all the money that was budgeted for scanning, and we still have, you know, money left to do the time twos. So I don't think anyone's taking money out of one pot to put it in the imaging pot, you know, taking it out of neurobehavioral, for example, to put it into imaging. I don't think anyone would be doing that. I mean, I think we're trying to do what we said we would do.
All right, then that's the answer to Dale's question, you know, that it isn't.
Yeah, I think they're going to get more bang for their buck than we even proposed.
Yeah.
You know, I'm in that. I'm assuming that we had, I think, budgeted for, only 40 scans at time two.
Right.
It was not 100% comeback. It was.
I don't remember the exact details.
It was budgeted at 40 scans.
For your site?
There was, I don't believe, I don't know if I have those data.
We budgeted for 40 scans at time one and 40 scans for time two.
This is Colleen Cunningham. Because we've got so many participants, as Dale said, we overran because we knew we wouldn't get 100% back. So we were supposed to have 80, and I think we got 90-something. Of the, I think it's about 30 who we've approached. You know, there are a couple, and they tend the control adolescents who don't want to participate. I think they know the stigma, whereas the fetal alcohol kids come back quite readily. So it's our control groups. It's not that many, but there have been some who've refused to do the retest for the neurobehavior, and so they're, you know, and then rescan as well. But
and the other point I want to make is that, you know, we don't have a budget for imaging for low IQ and ADHD.
Right.
We have to decide, you know, is the value high enough to get the neurobehavioral imaging for, you know, I remember Sarah being, you know, expressing significant concern about that low IQ group. Contrast, right, Sarah?
About having it or about our difficulty getting it? Both, really.
Both, and what its real value is. Well, I mean, I agree 100% that the ADHD is really important to get those kids in, right?
Yeah.
But I'm not, you know, but we're not going to be imaging them anyway.
Right, but irrespective of that, it's a matter of I think for the renewal, and I'm thinking ahead here, is what are the specific aims and what did we manage to accomplish?
Right.
I'm not going to want to go into that reverse site bit and have someone ask me the question, well, you had one of your specific aims was to compare neurobehaviorally the alcohol to a matched IQ group, and I don't see a single thing that's been done on that. How do you respond? And
maybe it was a good idea. Maybe it seemed like a good idea.
But it is a good idea. You know, I see a lot of reviews of papers, and I think that's one of the issues that reviewers always come up with. You know, how did you control for IQ? And so I think it's an important question that needs to be addressed.
Well, it's kind of like that question, you know, do you want a group that is pure alcohol and only alcohol and nothing else if they don't really, you know, if they don't really exist out there? I mean, I think it's a similar issue that other people aren't doing it because they're finding it difficult as well. Sarah?
No, I agree. I mean, I think one thing I would like to add is that we have three papers that we're presenting at RSA, and at least one of them addresses the IQ question.
Yeah.
As part of the bigger picture.
But that's from San Diego. That's not a CFAS.
No, it's CFAS. They're all CFAS.
And how do you address IQ when you only have so few IQs? They're all from one site.
Well, we still have, I mean, we have a reasonable sample. I mean, when you look at the numbers that we have across, I think the tables that, I can't explain it to you exactly, but we have the data for the IQ group, we have a reasonable sample size in comparison to the data that we have for the other groups when you consider what data we have that's usable.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Yeah, but over 60% of them come from South Africa. So
yes.
If there's a side effect.
Yes, and we always look at that.
You couldn't get a side effect when you only have two subjects from New Mexico and six from San Diego. I mean,
You know, we've done this with our imaging papers. We look at both, you know, within site to see if patterns are similar and then combine site control or combine groups. You know, controlling for sight.
Right.
A reasonable approach, I think.
Yeah, but I'm not sure you can do it when 70% of your group comes from one of four sites.
You lose a lot of power that way.
I don't even think you can do it. I mean, it's statistically.
Do it within sight, at least.
How do you compare across sight when the variances in one group are going to be so much less than they are in another group?
Well, you can't.
Just in the end. I mean, analysis of variance assumes equal variance among the groups. Right, Leah?
It does, yes.
All right, and if you've got a group size of 44 and a group size of 6, I think you're going to get very different estimates of the variance within groups.
Just to give you an example, not to answer Ed's question in any way, but to give you an example, in the paper we're presenting at RSA, we have 76 kids with ADHD and 66 in the low IQ group.
And of those 66 in the low IQ group, 44 of them come from one site. And since that's South Africa, which has lots of differences than San Diego or Atlanta in terms of other factors that could be influencing things, I'm not sure that people are going to say, oh, yeah, that makes sense. So I think I wouldn't want to defend that in front of the review group at the reverse site visit. All right? I think that there are serious issues raised about it, and if people try to defend it, it might not be in our favor. So I think it'd be great to try to increase the number of IQs so that when it does come up in the site visit, you said, yes, it was a more difficult group to recruit than we felt, but we are now at 80% of what we had proposed in the original proposal, and we hope to get that increased in the first year and then to be able to answer the questions we had proposed. I'd much rather say that than to try to... And, you know, statistically I'm wrong. Leah, please tell me. You know, I haven't...
So if you use a straightforward model, you're right.
Oh. All righty. So, you know, I think that we need to increase the IQ group again. We're on track for the second scan. And, Bill, what else? I'm sorry. You had another issue or concern?
Oh, that was it for me, but that was a good discussion. One lingering thought is, are there any low IQs in the control group, or are they mutually exclusive?
They're mutually exclusive.
Okay, thanks.
So one of the strategies we have considered, and we considered this in the original application, was to actually combine the low IQ and control group into a larger group with a larger range of IQ scores.
All right.
There's a similar discussion with ADHD at one point after the fact. Am I remembering something wrong here?
No, we had it. We had a low number in the ADHD.
And we made a decision at some point to stop recruiting for that, correct?
We have?
No, we increased our recruitment.
You increased it, all right.
We're doing well now, and I think
that... Doing that backwards. I just remembered it being an issue.
The IQ group that was an issue.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You know, we're percentage-wise, we're actually at the exact same place for ADHD and IQ for the overall. I know it's not equal by site, but we're, I think, 67% for IQ and 68% for ADHD.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, but the problem with that, Sarah, is that it's all being based in South Africa.
Which is why I said it's not equal by site.
Right. It's not equal by site. So we may be at 68% overall.
Well, then, do we need to consider for the renewal only including sites that can recruit for all groups?
Well, I don't know how a site could argue that they couldn't get a low IQ group.
Or ADHD.
Low IQ is much more common than FAS. So, you know, I think it's a matter of making the effort to find those kids and recruit them in. So, all right, so that's where we stand on that. And let's see. Just other news, next Tuesday I have a conference call with the PASS project about ultrasound. They're going to start doing they want to look at brain measurements using third trimester ultrasound, and to see whether or not that correlates with some of what we found in CFAS. And so, you know, I think that will be an interesting project. Korean project subcontract has been signed, and they'll be moving forward on theirs. They're having a little bit of difficulty with their screening criteria in terms of the growth of Korean kids, even using Korean growth charts. seem to have a difficult time finding enough kids below the 10th percentile, which is what the screening criteria was that was proposed. And we think it's just a matter of using older and the kind of affiliated project in Poland also seems to be moving forward, still at a relatively slow pace, but it's still moving ahead. So basically, there are three things that I can... any other issues or things before people tell us how what's been going on in their individual projects? All right. Let's start with Claudia today. Claudia, how's it going there?
It's going fine. We're just starting to bring another group of subjects in for measurement in June. We have the equipment in to do the heart rate and the GSR and to try to find out if these kids are really conditioning or not. And we're still pretty much focusing on cerebellum, and now we see in both in both acute movement and in the conditioning differences in the cerebellar responses as a function of age. And what seems to be happening is that the amplitude in the control group tends to increase as the age increases, and we don't see that same increase in the FASD kids. So it's almost as if their cerebellum and these and the networks that are connected, the cortical cerebellar networks, may not be maturing either at the same rate or perhaps not at all. But we'd like to get some more subjects to make sure that that's really what's going on.
So it could either be a developmental lag or just a complete...
Yeah. And I suppose you'd have to follow the same group of kids all the way up into the early 20s to really see, you know, if it's never going to happen. But it certainly seems to be that they're lagging behind.
Well, I have just a general question about DMEG then.
Yeah.
With other populations with other disorders like low IQ ADHD, do you think that the technique could find a signature that would be relatively specific?
Well, that would certainly be the hope, wouldn't it?
The hope.
And again, we're looking for, the idea is we're looking for kind of midline damage, and so we're talking about cerebellum is right there on the midline, and perhaps the ADHD guys might have a different fingerprint in the MEG. But we would have to measure those subjects to begin to explore that issue. That would be interesting to do.
I mean, have there been other ADHD MEG studies?
I'm not really familiar with that. I suspect that there are. I don't know if they've looked at cerebellum per se. Lots of folks do studies and don't consider the cerebellum because a lot of the inversion algorithms just simply exclude that from the source base. But I could look into that.
Yeah, I mean, because the data that you presented in Vancouver, I mean, it looks really encouraging.
Yeah.
That you're going to see something in these alcohol-exposed kids. Now I think, you know, it's okay, how, you know, reliable is that marker?
Right, how specific.
And so, I mean, that might be something that would be considered as a more fuller project moving ahead.
Yeah, exactly.
We might have to recruit other MEG sites, or you might have to recruit other MEG sites in order to get enough subjects. But
yeah, well, you know, there's one in San Diego that has exactly the same system. And so if you have subjects already lined up, it might not be that difficult to get them scanned using our paradigms.
I can't remember that woman's name now, but I have it somewhere. She and I have talked. So. Sarah, do you remember her name?
Are you talking about Carrie McDonald?
Maybe, yeah. I'll have to look.
Okay, here's one, right?
Epilepsy. Yeah, I don't know.
All right.
Yeah. Actually, there are there are a couple of MEG. Here's a Finnish MEG paper on ADHD kids, and there are a couple of papers coming out. This is a 2011 June paper, in fact, and there's another one in 2008 is the next paper after that.
That's just something to consider down the road as moving, Colleen, how are things going in South Africa?
Fine, Ed. I think, as I said, the individual projects will report. Just to say that we've completed the 3D imaging on actually 37 kids, of whom we think certainly 34 of the scans will be usable. And we've got, 18 and 19 of fetal alcohol controls.
Now, do you have neurobehavioral on those kids as well?
We have imaging, 3D imaging, brain imaging, and neurobehavior. And those, we will also have time to scan and neurobehavior.
Great.
On them, ultimately. So, So we finished now, and I think just in time, because I was in communication with Hein Undel today, and the PAS study is going to get very busy. They're starting on scanning their 3D imaging of their one-year-olds, and he said they're going to be very busy and they won't have more space. But we've completed this undertaking anyway. So we're done there, and I think the images are, I think you've already got them. Have you... In Indiana now, earlier?
Parents have to copy.
They'll be uploaded.
All right, so they should be uploaded.
So the 3D is done. In terms of the neurobehavior, we're working hard to increase the teacher and parent questionnaire uptake. Particularly our parent questionnaires don't get done, I think, as they would in the other sites, where a parent sits and self fills them in. Quite a few of the parents are not that literate, so we actually have to bring in and administer the entire thing and then take them out again. So that goes quite slowly for us, but we are putting additional staff resources onto that so that we can catch up. And then we're going to be going quite slowly over the next 6 weeks. It's now coming up for the mid-year school holidays, and not everybody is available. So we definitely slow down, and then we'll take up again in terms of pace from mid-July.
Will you be at the RSA meeting?
Well, I will, yes.
All right, well, we'll see you there then. And again, you've really moved the bar up there. So thank you very much.
Well, it's a team. One person can't do it. We've had a really great team. Yes. So,
all right, Elizabeth, how's it going with imaging? Any new things exciting going on?
Well, we've got that thickness paper that's a revise and resubmit at cerebral cortex, and we're working on getting that back out. And we're starting to think about, doing longitudinal. I'm looking at it, even if renewal within the South Africa site, and I wanted to ask Colleen if okay with her if we start there since she's got such a large number of kids. Colleen, is that okay?
Yes, because I think, I was just listening to the discussion around the IQ. Our children all do so badly. You could probably put most of our controls in your low IQ group as well.
Right.
But we've had to redefine low IQ as matched with the fetal alcohol, so they truly are, and then the others are two standard deviations higher. So we have I think quite complete data, and I'm really happy to look. We certainly have the more extreme picture. Of the fetal alcohol syndrome, so that may not answer some of the low exposure questions, but I think it will tell us the difference. So certainly, I think we're looking for the base questions is what's the difference. So we have the power, I think, to start to look at those.
Yeah, maybe 16 or 20 where we've scanned twice at UCLA. So that would be another group. I'm, you know, obviously a little bit worried with the move, you know, to start scanning time two on a different scanner gets things a little bit scary. I'm just hoping we have enough power with what we can do through the end of July for our
That's fine.
Yeah.
All right.
We've got 30-something already re-scanned.
All right. Well, I want to I need to move a little bit forward. You guys can talk about that together. So.
Okay. Then I have one other thing.
Okay.
So I'm and I think I brought it up before, but Tatiana and I Don Hammond, right? No.
Peter Hammond.
Peter, I'm so sorry. Yeah. So we're working on combining the 3D facial imaging with kids that we have the same that we have the brain as well. I think we'll move forward and be kind of interesting. And it's not just the face; it's like really putting together the face and the brain.
Right.
I think that would be an awesome thing as well for the renewal.
Yep, I agree. Am I still on? Hello?
Yeah. We have.
Yeah, that was my phone ringing, and I diverted it, and I didn't know what I would do to me. I think that's exciting. I mean, we're having contractual difficulties with Peter, but the funds are there, so he should be able to continue helping out. It's just a matter of getting him get some invoices and things like that and get paperwork in. Wendy, how are things going in New Mexico besides really hot and smoky?
Yeah, smoky for sure. We're just plugging along with trying to recruit subjects, and Stephanie's been spending most of her time cleaning the data and making sure that everything's in the central repository, and she tested 8 kids last month. And it's primarily her efforts here in New Mexico at this point, because I've pretty much filling in for Phil and his projects while he's in transition. So, but we'll see if we can try to unearth some more low IQ kids. We have really worked on that as well, but it's just been hard to get families in with their kids who have low IQ. So, for whatever reason, but we'll strategize that again and see if we can get some of those numbers up.
Sarah, what do we consider low IQ?
For Wendy, it's 88, or 88's the cutoff. I can't remember which group 88 is in.
Yeah, that's it.
88 is in the low IQ group.
Right. So 88 or lower.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This shouldn't be that hard to recruit.
Yeah, well, recruitment is difficult here for a lot of reasons. We have really had a hard time recruiting in New Mexico because we've kind of been at cross purposes with some of the other people who are doing FAS work here. We have, you know, been shut out of the Albuquerque Public Schools. We've gone to Rio Rancho Public Schools and some of the other outlying school districts. So, I mean, it is not for a lack of trying to recruit subjects. We've just, it's been very difficult here in New Mexico. So I could, you know, send you the list of all of the recruitment meetings we've had with various entities, and you'd be convinced. But anyway, we're continuing to try to do that and get some of these kids in. I mean, Stephanie did test, I think, 6 kids last month, or 8, can't remember which. And so, you know, it's successive approximations, little by little, trying to, you know, get these numbers up. But it has not been an easy process.
All right. And the Plains, is that kind of closed down?
Well, I have recruitment happening in Rapid City right now, and we're waiting for enough kids to warrant a trip up to Rapid City. We have currently 6 kids recruited up there. So if we don't get any more the end of July, Stephanie and I will fly to Rapid City and get those kids seen. And most of those kids are affected kids.
Okay.
So we're also trying in the Plains. But, you know, it is more difficult in the Plains because all of our sites are shut down now, you know, that we originally were recruiting from.
Right.
So we're working with Jean Hoime's group and the Center for Development and Disability in South Dakota to try to recruit those subjects up there. So.
Lots of recruitment problems.
Yeah, recruitment is just...
They can be resolved over the next year, or it's going to be difficult to convince a review committee that these are viable sites anymore.
Absolutely, and they may not be.
This is Claudia. In the next year, do you think that the political issues in New Mexico could be resolved?
Well,
because you've got kids, and my project seems to have kids in there. I think they're pretty much disjoint.
Absolutely, and we did have some meetings with Dr. Heidenreich and Dan Savage, to try to resolve some of that. We kind of hit a stalemate. So
I don't think it's going to be resolved in the next year.
Yeah, I just think.
But I don't think it's going to happen in the next year.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, that doesn't seem to be something that I can affect at all. So,
yeah,
okay.
Unfortunately,
right.
But we'll keep plugging away. I mean, as long as we're here trying, we're trying. So,
Buddy, I know you have to work with these people, so you might run it by them. But when you bring someone in to test, I mean, I don't think that there's anything unethical or I think it's even proper to say, there's another FAS project ongoing, and you may want to have your child assessed there as well.
Maybe we could. If we had flyers or something, we could do something fairly discreet. I
have the flyers for sure. I mean, but again, I understand your position.
Knowing
the politics here, I understand.
Yeah.
But that takes it out of the any differences in opinion between the heads, the powers that be there, and leaves it into the hands of the parents.
Yeah.
I agree.
That's an ethical thing to do, is to say, hey, there's this other resource available, and it's you whether you want to make the contact or not.
Right.
So, and I think it might be unethical not to tell parents that there's these other resources available that they might find useful. So, you could take that stand. But politically, I don't think it's going to be resolved. So, but informally, there might be ways around it. All right, Sarah. Anything exciting that you need to let the group know?
I already mentioned the missing data project and the three papers that we have at RSA. We also have been revisiting question five,
papers. And you keep saying papers rather than posters or things like that.
Sorry, posters. And we've been revisiting question five, and we are stymied at the moment by missing data, so we're working on that.
Okay. So are these posters going to become papers?
They're will be submitted this summer.
Okay.
We need to get edits and send them out to the co-authors and so on. But most of the papers are near have at least had first drafts.
Right. This brings up another thing, that remember that publications involving multiple sites and multiple investigators are going to be crucial in the discussion of any renewal. We have to convince them that we are more than just separate R01s. So keep that in mind. If we're going to be site visited, probably in February or March of next year, that it's kind of important to start working and getting out those multidisciplinary projects. So I'm going to talk to the people who were involved in the two INYA site visits. One's going on right now, and to find out how critical that issue was in their discussion, reverse site visit. So Leah, are you representing Tatiana here today?
Well, I could never represent Tatiana, but I will give it an effort.
Okie doke. Fire away and tell us all the great things you're finding out.
Well, we've landed on a list of 240 kids and sent. We've made the DNA request to our lab here, and they're processing the saliva into DNA and getting it ready to ship to CIDR. We have the plates from CIDR. The paperwork is almost done, and hopefully that'll be in process genotyping soon.
Okay. How about the facial imaging stuff?
We've been working on, Lee Shen's group has been working on looking at longitudinal changes in the face from the 2005 South African images to 2009, so about age 5 to age 9, and she'll include that in her talk.
Okay. Any words from Peter Hammond?
I know that they're working on a paper. I've had some emails from Mike Suddy asking me various questions and clarifying things, so I think they're at least working on something.
And he's coming to RSA, right? He's in your symposium?
Peter is. I don't know if... Yes, Peter is.
All righty. Because, I think that'll be a project they'll look at heavily in a renewal to see where it's going and how reliable it is. I think they're going to say that we've had enough time now to show whether this is a viable technology to use or not. And I think it's going to be critical for the success of a renewal of this project to show them something. I think we have a couple papers out, and I think that's great. But I think with Peter's technology, we have to show that that's valuable as well.
I agree. We also have San Diego has second images on some of their kids. It may be enough for Peter to do something with. I think it will be enough for Lee Shen to do something with. I don't know if both groups should or will work on the same data, but we should have that data soon.
Okay. And Tina, I don't think you're on, are you?
Yeah, I'm on.
Hey, I didn't hear your little beep on.
I beeped on.
All right, so tell us.
So let's see. We are working with Raj Miranda to set up a mechanism whereby he can take a look at the conserved blood sample from a selected subset of the women in Ukraine to markers from the sheep model. Will the humans are going to start with the ones for which we have most recent alcohol consumption data at the higher end of the spectrum, because Raj doesn't have a clue whether or not the signature, if it is there, would persist and for what period of time past the last alcohol consumption. Start with the ones that have the most recent alcohol data. And he, using labs, so wanted on the IRB part of this, the idea that he would get a proposal and be ready to do this in July. The only other thing is that while we're sitting here waiting for the additional 500 samples to be analyzed for choline, they have all the homocysteine, folate, vitamin D, and interestingly, about 98% of the women are either subpar or deficient in, which I think is probably not expected. And we're done finishing recruitment by the end of this year, and we're on target for doing that.
Tina, you broke up a little bit. Which vitamin did you say you were assessing?
They're just finishing doing the choline, which is the one we've been waiting on, that everybody's been waiting on. But vitamin D, they just did all 600 samples, and it came up that 98% are either marginal or deficient in vitamin D, which is probably not unexpected. I don't think they drink fortified milk. They drink milk from the local cow. So we don't know. I mean, all I can see from the literature is that alcohol itself doesn't seem to affect vitamin D levels in a rat model in the dam, but it does affect vitamin D levels in the fetus. So if it turns out that this is at all related to outcome, and I haven't looked at that yet, it would be an important thing to be able to look at what levels are in the kids.
Thank you.
Okay. So we are hoping to get data back from UC Davis then?
Yes. Yeah. I have a sort of a daily conversation. The chemist who's the only one who can do this was out of the country for about a month. She has been back for 2 months, so there's no reason why she can't finish it within the next couple of weeks.
Great. All righty. You will not be at RSA.
No.
Claire
will be there, though.
Well, I was going to ask. I know that Claire, you know, got back recently, within the last month. I guess you all did. And how's the neurobehavioral issue going?
It's good. Yeah, they're doing great. I think we've already talked about this before. We're doing the DSMB agreed to, and we've put together a plan for doing a formal interim analysis in December. And so we're on target to having the appropriate number of tests to be able to get that done. So that's all going well. As we all know, we're just waiting on the choline data to have sufficient numbers of subjects to be able to look at whether or not that looks like it has any effect over and above what looks like is happening with the plain multivitamin supplement.
Okay. All right. Any comments from Bill or Dale?
Tina, I just missed when that interim analysis is planned, and will it position you well, you know, with the renewal?
It's planned for December, with the idea that we wanted to have the one-year follow-up data on at least half of the sample. So in terms of being able to say, you know, whether the intervention trial worked or didn't work, it's probably too tight to have it. What the good thing about doing this interim analysis at this time point is it's not going to change the intervention strategy, because everyone will have already received the intervention or not, because it's tied to the outcome, which is a year later. So I think we'll be able to say whether or not it looks like there's an impact, and then we would have to wait a longer period of time to be able to do the final analysis, but the interim analysis will allow us to be able to say something in time for the renewal, if in fact it's relevant.
Okay. I know people, it's just about 11, so Bill, Dale, any other issues?
I had a quick question. Are there any plans to have Peter Hammond or Carl Keene at the CFAS meeting at RSA?
Yeah, Peter's going to be there.
Okay.
Carl will be not there. He'll probably be at teratology, right?
Yeah.
He'll be at the FASD study group, I know, on Saturday, but maybe he'll be out of town by then.
Oh, Carl's coming to the FASD study group?
Yeah, I think he's giving a keynote talk. That's our understanding, but that's on Saturday. And whether he'll hang around.
That would be just great to be able to talk to him face-to-face. So, I like him. I think he's an interesting guy. So, Joy. All right. So, John, any other issues?
No, I just want to emphasize for everybody to think ahead to that next for the renewal. And as you're looking to go, again, emphasizing Ed's points, is multiple sites need to be pulled together in order to demonstrate this is unique. And you can also look to the basic research groups, you know, test the hypotheses that they're generating and go in the other direction.
Yeah, I agree. I think we have to integrate the basic science with the clinical projects for this renewal. And, you know, one of the helps some the people should start thinking about the themes that they want to take in the renewal. Imaging and interventions would be another one.
Can we get copies of everybody's progress report? Because I don't know what the basic science people are doing or finding.
Sure. Well, you can look at the ones from January, but it may take a while to separate out their budgets, which I don't want to share from their science part. We will try to work on that and something in the next week. Because Jill's kind of busy these days. So, all righty. We'll see everyone at RSA, hopefully. Tina, I won't see you, but hope you have a great keratology meeting. Are you running this? You're running this one, right?
No, it just happens to be in San Diego.
Yeah. All right. Well, I hope you have an enjoyable time. I'm sorry that when you time. Thank you, everybody, and I'll see you at RSA or talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Ed.
John, hey, bye-bye. John, can you stay up?
Yeah, I'm on.